From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis.
And I'm Peter Sagal. This week saw a huge change in our politics from just 2 years ago, which was a huge change from 2 years before that, which was a huge change from 2 years before that. Americans change their political direction more often than they change their underwear. Which isn't a problem. Actually, it's two problems. We'll ask what happened, plus Austin musician Dale Watson helps keep us real, and Bill Curtis shares some of his famous pillow talk with us.
If it falls off, it doesn't matter.
We'll ask who really kept his eyes on that prize on our quiz right after this hour's news.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm legendary anchorman Bill Curtis. And here's your host at the Bass Concert Hall at the University of Texas in Austin, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Bill. Oh, behave. Excited to be back in Austin, the part of Texas that it is, of course, the least like Texas. They're excited, as you can hear, everybody here, yes. Everybody here in Austin is excited to have us, too, because now that we are here, the Ebola virus is no longer the worst thing that's been allowed into Texas this year. We'll be talking to Dale Watson, one of the great musicians who does everything he can to keep Austin weird. But first, it's your turn. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Diane from Buffalo, New York.
Hey, how are things in Buffalo?
Buffalo's great.
I've been all around the country. I've never been to Buffalo. No, this is true. It's one of the few cities I've been to. So what am I missing by missing Buffalo?
Oh, lots of things. We have great restaurants. We have a nice waterfront.
Uh-huh.
People are very friendly. It's up and coming.
It's the Paris of Western New York.
Is it really?
Yeah. I'm from Syracuse. I used to go to Buffalo
for culture.
Yeah.
Well, I dare you to come here and have a bad time, Bob.
All right, you crazy little minx. It's on.
Now, Diane, let's introduce you to our panel. First up, a comedian performing this weekend at the Funny Bone in Omaha, Nebraska, and November 20th to 22nd at the Laughing Derby in Louisville, Kentucky, Mr. Bobcat Goldthwait. Next, a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning, it is Ms. Faith Saley.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, Faith.
And a humorist and storyteller who's hosting the Moth Main Stage annual members event at the Great Hall at Cooper Union in New York City on November 12th. It's Tom Baudet.
Hello, Diane.
Hey, Tom.
So you're going to start us off with Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis is going to create for you, or rather recreate for you, three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize, the voice of scorekeeper Emeritus Carl Castle, on whatever device you would like to store it on. You ready to play?
Okay. I think I am.
All right, here is your first quote.
This is a real ass-whooping.
That was West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin talking about the results of what?
Oh.
Don't tell him.
The election?
Yes, the midterm election. The last time a bunch of liberals got beaten this badly, they were being clubbed by the Chicago police. The Republican victory parties on Tuesday night were incredible. People were going nuts. Normally, the only place you see old white people celebrate like that is on Antiques Roadshow. Republicans won just about every race they were in the country. They took the Senate. They expanded control of the House. They are now going to take over all independent coffee shops, which will be transformed into combination Hooters and gun stores. I think, especially in Texas, efficient business model.
Sure.
I'd go.
And it also would, you know, there's a lot of flap over concealed weapons, so that would probably be addressed.
Yeah.
the pundits are saying that, that this election kind of demonstrated that the so-called war on women doesn't gin up Democratic voters anymore. But and I think these midterms were an embrace of women because all the headlines kind of celebrated... Well, Peter, they celebrated a ladies' moon time. There was a lot of talk about the big red wave.
That's true.
All over the country, yeah. You know?
Now, Mitch McConnell, Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, he, of course, will be the majority leader in the new Republican Senate. The pundits say that even though he has very little charisma, McConnell is brilliant behind the scenes. So now his maneuverings have got control of the Senate, the most hated institution in America. For his next trick, he's becoming Emperor of Syphilis.
Is that a real title?
Yeah. Here is your next quote.
It doesn't make me mopey. It energizes me.
That was the leader of the losing team lying about his feelings about the election results on Tuesday. Who was that?
President Obama.
Yes, indeed, President Obama. Republicans won this massive electoral victory pretty much on the platform of hating President Obama. Post-election articles had quotes from Democratic staffers and politicians. They also now hate President Obama. Well, he said in his famous convention speech 10 years ago that he wanted to unite America. This is probably not what he had in mind.
I think we can admire the president's commitment to rolling up his sleeves and getting to work these next 2 years. He said he's willing to have a bourbon with Senator McConnell,
yeah.
and he'll go golfing with John Boehner.
Technically, he said he'll let John Boehner win at golf.
Oh, did he?
He did.
Okay.
Little dig there.
Well, I think he should indulge in the lame duck spa package and get a couples massage with Pat Roberts, and maybe a mani-pedi with John Cornyn.
That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. It wasn't all bad for Democrats. One piece of good news, this is true, a state Senate candidate in Washington State won a hard-fought re-election campaign. Unfortunately, and this is also true, this state Senate candidate died last week. That may be the solution for the Democrats' dilemma. Run dead, guys. Hey, it's worked for Harry Reid.
You know, John Boehner gave some warnings to Obama recently. He said, you know, he said if he acts unilaterally, he said he's going to burn himself. And I think the president should listen to Boehner because he knows about that. You know, he doesn't burn, he tans.
He does, that's true. All right, here is your last quote.
If it falls off, it doesn't matter.
That was some of the excellent car advice given by someone who passed away this week. Who was it?
Oh, beloved Tom Malyazzi.
Is that how you pronounced it correctly. Tom Malyazzi. We would have accepted of Car Talk, of course. We would have accepted Click or Clack. They didn't know which one was which either. This is personal for us here at Wait Wait, because with his brother Ray, Tom Malyazzi proved that public radio doesn't have to be serious or smart or dignified or really worthwhile in any way. So what we're saying, and quite seriously, is that without Tom, Wait Wait would not be on your radio right now. But he did good things too.
He's memorialized in so many ways. And one of his best lines I've never been able to get out of my head, there was a caller who said when he takes his car down the driveway and goes to the east, it makes this terrible clunk, clunk, clunking sound. But if he goes down the driveway and he turns west, it doesn't. What do I do? And Tom said, go west, young man, go west.
And then he laughed and laughed. Bill, how did Diane do?
Perfect. Out of Buffalo.
There you are.
Just like the falls.
Well done. You've won Carl Castle's voice, and I hope you use it well.
Thank you.
We want to remind everyone that they can join us most weeks back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, Illinois, and at our upcoming show in Newark, New Jersey on December 4th. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org, or you can find a link at our website, which, as always, is waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, I turn to you with some questions about this week's news. Bobcat, the doctors and nurses caring for the nation's only Ebola patient in a hospital in New York now have to deal with a new threat. The patient has somehow acquired what?
An attorney.
No.
This is a medical problem?
Well, it's more of an environmental problem. Let me give you a hint.
An allergy?
No. The only thing more deadly than the Ebola virus is a badly played rendition of Foggy Mountain Breakdown.
Oh, a banjo.
Yes, he has acquired somehow a banjo.
That's like one of those desert island jokes. What would you rather be stranded with on a desert island? Ebola or banjo?
Yeah. It's like,
so let me tell you.
I think, can you imagine being in that hospital? It's like the guy next to him, he's got Ebola. Oh, no, it's worse. He's got a banjo.
Yeah, you might be smart like a, or dumb like a fox, and nothing will get you out of quarantine quicker than whipping out the banjo.
So it's
all right, you're doing fine. You can go.
Reports from Bellevue Hospital in New York say the doctor is whiling away the time doing yoga and playing the banjo, which has the hospital staff secretly rooting for the virus. All right, look, Ebola. All right, don't kill him. But a little paralysis.
You guys please. Better come up with a cure, because I got a buddy who's giving me bagpipes.
It is true, though. I mean, it's cheaper than a quarantine. The CDC is now handing out banjos to people that might have Ebola to isolate them. And now the problem is, in the hospital, other people think they have Ebola because their ears are bleeding. Support for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me comes from Trunk Club. That's a men's outfitting service focused on simplifying the process of clothes shopping. Now, I hate shopping for clothes. What I do is I just walk into a store, close my eyes, point blindly at something, saying, I'll take four of those, and run out in a panic. That's why I'm wearing, even as I speak, these cereal boxes. But Trunk Club makes it easier. Every guy that uses Trunk Club is matched with a personal stylist who will get to know his individual preferences and styles. They'll handpick a selection of premium clothing, pack it in a trunk, thus the name. That's not a surprise, right? It's a trunk. And then ship it home for try-on. Users have 10 days to try everything in the trunk, decide what to keep, and then they send the rest back. Shipping is free both ways. There's no monthly obligations. To try out Trunk Club's clothing discovery service, check out trunkclub.com/wait.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, and we're playing this week with Tom Baudette, Faith Seeley, and Bobcat Goldthwait. And here again is your host at the Bass Concert Hall in Austin, Texas, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, everyone. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, Peter. It's Evan Benjamin.
Hey, Evan. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous.
I'm glad to hear it. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia. What do you do there in Atlanta?
I'm a computer geek.
Yeah.
And I guess you say I do a little computer forensic and stuff like that, you know. I'm the guy who could go after Lois Lerner's emails right now.
Oh, you could?
Oh, yeah. I'm just waiting to do that.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, Evan. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Evan's topic?
2, 4, 6, 8. Who's the team that can't rhyme good?
Oh, my goodness.
Sports fans are nuts. Almost as nuts as NPR fans. I mean, really. But this week, we read a story about sports fans taking their team support perhaps a little too far. Guess the true story, you'll win Carl Castle's voice in your home voicemail. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
First, let's hear from Tom Baudette.
The Fighting Coyotes of Alice, Texas High School had lost 6 games in a row and hadn't put up a winning football season in almost a decade when the lone woman in the long black coat first sat down in the bleachers. "I was walking to bingo and the heel came off my boot," she said later. "Had to wait for my husband somewhere." Well, that night, the Coyotes won 22-0. The next weekend, they were behind 13-3 at the half. The lady showed up again, this time to watch her niece in the marching band. They went on to win by 20 points. People noticed. A reluctant legend was born. Tia Diana Ramirez has been the drafted good luck charm of the Alice Coyotes through 22 consecutive winning seasons and 4 state championships. It's not always been easy on the spry but aging matron of Alice football. For one thing, she can't stand football. Fans and boosters bring her flowers and BBQ brisket. When her car broke down a few years back, she was chauffeured to the games with a police escort until a local car dealer simply gave her a brand new Lincoln, which he has done every year since. When the arthritis in Tia Diana's back threatened to sideline her from the bleachers, a heated, vibrating Lazy Boy recliner was installed above the 50-yard line, where the cheerleaders can often be seen rubbing Latia's feet and lighting her cigarettes.
Tia Diana, the somewhat unwilling lucky charm for the Texas high school football team. Your next story of out-of-control fans comes from Faith Saley.
When you hear the word Corinthians, do you first think of the New Testament verse, "Love is patient, love is kind, it does not boast, it is not proud"? If so, then you're not a fan of the Sao Paulo Football Club Corinthians with 25 million devotees in Brazil. Those soccer nuts are so proud of their team that their love never dies, which is why the club is opening the Corinthians Forever Cemetery, where enthusiasts can choose to be buried in one of 70,000 plots. Deceased Corinthian players will be buried there too, and you can pay between 4,500 and 7,800 reais. That's between $1,800 and $3,000 to spend spiritual overtime close to your idols. The cemetery, marketed under the slogan, "For those who are fans from the beginning to the end," even offers a burial package that includes flowers in black and white club colors, a coffin-sized Corinthians flag, and a choir singing the club's official anthem.
A graveyard where fans of a soccer team in Sao Paulo can be buried next to their beloved players. Your last story of extreme fandom comes from Bobcat Goldthwait.
Gaelic football, the most popular sport in all of Ireland, has some extremely hardcore fans, but none are as rabid as Colin Burke, who recently went through a series of painful plastic surgeries to look more like his kicking hero, Seamus Coleman. But these surgeries weren't to look more like the handsome Everton star in the face, but to look more like him in the foot. You see, Coleman's early career was almost ruined by the amputation of his right foot's baby toe, so Burke had his baby toe removed to look more like his hero. "He is a living example of overcoming life's adversity," said Burke. But Burke's ultimate fan sacrifice not only cost him his digit, which went wee, wee, wee all the way home, it also cost him his job. Colin Burke was a full-time river dancer, and although he claims he can still tear it up the carpet like Michael Flatley, king of the river dance, his bosses don't agree. People want to be astounded by the dance. They don't want to see some screwy football fan hobbling around like a one-legged chicken.
All right. Let us then imagine, as a fan, that you might do one of these three things. From Tom Baudet practically kidnap an old lady because you think she was good luck and force her to attend all the games. From Faith Saley, buy a funeral plot in a cemetery offered by your favorite team so you can spend eternity moldering next to your favorite players. Or from Bobcat Goldthwait, get your own foot mutilated so it just matches the foot of your favorite Gaelic football player. Which of these is the story of true, serious, over-the-top fandom?
Oh, my God. Okay. I'm going to go with Faith.
So you're going to go with Faith's story.
I'm going to close my eyes and go with Faith on her story.
You're going to choose Faith's story of the cemetery offered by the Brazilian soccer team. Well, we spoke to someone familiar with the real story to bring you the truth.
They are building a 70,000 plot cemetery so that their fans can be rooting for the team from the grave and beyond.
That was Jim Andrews. He's a sports marketing expert at IEG in Chicago. Congratulations, Evan. You've got it right. You're into point for Faith. You've won our prize.
Evan.
Carol Castle will record the greeting for your voicemail. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Hold on to the end. That's what I intend to do. I'm hopelessly devoted to you.
And now the game where we travel the country to find people who at least didn't have to leave home to do this. To many, Austin, Texas means music, specifically country music, and by that we don't mean the stuff they peddle in Nashville. We mean the down-home twanging songs about cold beer and true misery. Dale Watson has got the true Austin sound. He's got the tats. He's got the pompadour. He's got his own honky-tonk right here in Austin. Dale Watson, welcome.
Thank you.
Austin City Limits, that's the great music program out of Austin. They call you Austin's king of country music. Does that sound right to you? Do you accept that title?
Oh, no, I couldn't do that.
Really?
No, but I'm very honored. I play Ameripolitan music.
Yeah, and I've read about this. Ameripolitan music. You have decided that the word country music has been... degraded, misused?
Well, no, it just doesn't describe what I grew up to know as country music anymore. I like to say that the definition is original music with prominent roots influence. It started with Jimmy Rogers and Hank Williams and Kitty Wells. So it started there and it goes on. And if you can hear the influence of an artist in another artist, then that's your roots.
Right.
And to me, the mainstream stuff's coming out of Nashville. It's got their roots firmly planted in midair. They have no roots whatsoever.
But
hey, Dale, how do you feel about the banjo?
there's a thing called perfect pitch. You ever heard of perfect pitch?
Yeah, people who can hear a note and know exactly.
No. It's when you throw an accordion in a dumpster and it doesn't hit the rim and it lands on a banjo.
For people, Dale, who are not lucky enough to have heard you play around Texas, where you play all the time in your own club in Austin, what songs are you known for?
I Lie When I Drink. I Lie When I Drink. I drink a lot. There you go.
When I told people you were going to be in the show, the people from Austin who I told, they said, well, you got to ask him about his Sunday gig every Sunday. And I know it's going to be difficult. But
chicken poop bingo.
Please.
For a paltry $2 donation, you can win. You can win over $100 if the same number that's in the bag you draw out is the same number that Chicken picks in her chicken picking way.
All right. You've got some sort of like dirt thing in the floor.
It's free hot dogs and...
Free hot dogs.
And $2 loan stores, yes.
All right.
Well, it'd be weird to eat chicken in front of the chicken.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It wasn't really motivating.
So the way this works is you've got, like, it marked down on a floor, maybe a dirt floor. I haven't been there, I'm guessing.
No.
No, it's not dirt floor?
Cement floor.
Cement floor. You've got it marked out with numbers. Cement. That's what they have here in Texas. So you got your cement. You got your cement floor. You got it marked out with numbers. And you have chickens.
No. There's a board that we put on the pool table.
Oh, okay.
And it's got numbers on it. And if the chicken picks that number, that one you draw out of a bag, then they've won the money.
And the chicken picks the number by relieving itself on the number.
There is a line ticket, which is the luckiest ticket. Mm-hmm. In case it crosses into a line.
Sure, I got it.
Yeah.
Is it the same chicken every week?
We've been doing it for so long. I think we're on our sixth chicken now.
Do you have a lucky chicken?
Doesn't everybody?
Yeah.
No.
That's rather personal, Tom.
I know. The thing is, we've had them pass away. I never knew how long a chicken could live, but that'd be a good long time. But
they're tenacious.
But we've had one killed by the chupacabra.
Sure. That'll happen.
You
for
have,
sure.
You have...
Did the chupacabra lose the week before?
Yeah. What, did the chicken actually killed by the chupacabra?
Oh, yeah. I was, he was a...
Are you drunk now? Because you said...
No, I want to...
You said you lie when you drink.
No. I want to hear about the chupacabra. Eating your chicken.
Well, we assume it was because the chicken's body was still in the chicken coop and the head was on the outside.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Could have been the mafia.
Yeah.
The Texas mafia.
You know how they thought it was the mafia? Because its feet were in a little tub of cement. And... Yeah. Now, you are dressed. Is this the rig you perform in? What you're wearing now? Because you were wearing really shiny cowboy boots, and you've got fabulous hair. You've got this beautiful white pompadour.
Well, it didn't used to be white. It used to be pretty black. It's getting whiter as this show goes on.
Yeah, I know. Dale Watson, we are so enjoying talking to you, but we have asked you here to play a game we're calling
Elementary, my dear Dale.
Should have seen this coming.
I love the way Bill says that.
Don't you? I love the way he says anything. So you're a Watson, but what do you know about Holmes? We're going to ask you three questions about the immortal detective Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, man.
Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, the voice of Carl Castle himself, on their voicemail. So, Bill, who is Dale Watson playing for?
Elizabeth Day of Austin, Texas.
She's out there somewhere. Here.
Elizabeth, let me just first say, Elizabeth, I'll make this up to you.
All the free chicken advantage. Bingo you can handle.
There's nothing I want to do right more with my life than go to play chicken bingo on Sunday.
I have a confession. I'm the chupacabra. I owe you a chicken.
Here is your first question, Dale. The BBC version of Sherlock, you might have seen it. It's a huge hit in China. They lovingly refer to the stars Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman by nicknames, which are what? A, Rizzoli and Isles. B, the Captain and Garfunkel. Or C, Curly Foo and Peanut.
Okay.
You're thinking.
I am. I'm not used to it. I'm going to go with Curly.
Curly Foo?
Peanut.
Curly Foo and Peanut is the right answer. Yeah. Curly for Benedict Cumberbatch's luxurious hair, and Foo is the Chinese derivation of Holmes, apparently. All right. Two more questions. Sherlock Holmes.
Wait, where's the peanut? Wait.
Well, Peanut is Martin Freeman. I guess he's smaller than... He's a rather short man,
Okay.
So I guess that's where that comes from. Sherlock Holmes, some believe, is the most filmed character ever, right? More movies with Sherlock Holmes than any other human character. Which of these is the title of a real Sherlock Holmes film? Is it A, Tom and Jerry Meet Sherlock Holmes? B, Sherlock 2, Sherlocker? Or C, Holmes on the Range?
One of them's real?
One of those is real.
Well, now, could one of them be a cartoon? Is that what you're talking about?
One of them could be a cartoon.
Okay, well, I'm going with it. Tom and Jerry.
You're right, Tom and Jerry. You too. Now, one more question. Let's see if you're perfect. Hundreds of people around the world write to Sherlock Holmes.
Ooh, I'm not perfect. Boy.
You want to talk about it?
No.
We're all friends here if you want to discuss anything.
Sing about it?
Yeah. I'll ask you the question. Hundreds of people around the world write to Sherlock Holmes for help each year, and these letters end up at the Sherlock Holmes Museum in London. Now, most are pleased to help solve mysteries. Oh, please, Mr. Holmes. There's one letter on display at the museum that is what? Is it an email from a Nigerian prince asking for Sherlock Holmes' help in a business opportunity? Is it B, a postcard from a local optician reminding Mr. Sherlock Holmes it's time for his checkup? Or is it C, a J. Crew catalog addressed to Sherlock Holmes and advertising their fall collection of Deerstalker hats?
All right. I'm going to say the catalog.
The catalog. No, I'm afraid it was the optician.
Was it really?
Yep, an optician wrote to Sherlock Holmes saying, you're ready for your next eye appointment. When their last one was, we don't know.
Didn't he have just one thing, monocle?
No. You're confusing him with somebody I can't even imagine right now.
With Mr. Peanut.
That was Mr. Peanut, yes. Bill, how did Dale Watson do on our quiz?
2 out of 3, and that's a winner, Dale.
Yes, it is.
Good afternoon.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well done. Dale Watson is recording in January for Red House Records. Then he's heading out on an East Coast tour with Reverend Horton Heat and Rosie Flores. Dale Watson, thank you so much for being on Way Way Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
Whiskey or God, gonna bring me relief. Believing or not.
So here's a message from one of the people that makes this podcast possible. It's Angie's List, who help you find people to make other things possible, like make your refrigerator work, or do topiary in your yard to look like your favorite Star Wars character, or fix anything you need fixed. Now offering an updated app for iPhone and iPad to help consumers complete home maintenance and improvement projects from anywhere. For our podcast listeners, there's a special 40% discount on the annual membership fees. All you need to do is go to angieslist.com and use this promo code. It's NPR40 to get that discount. That's NPR40. And thanks to Angie's List for supporting this podcast.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Bobcat Goldthwait, Tom Beaudet, and Faith Saley. And here again is your host at the Bass Concert Hall in Austin, Texas, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, Bill eats a bowl of rhymes as part of his complete breakfast in our Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Bobcat, new teaching standards in schools mean math class is getting really hard. Don't worry, though. Many districts have instituted special classes for whom?
Special classes for whom in regards to math?
Yes.
That's the question.
Yes.
Math is hard for students, and they're having...
Well, I'll give you a hint. I mean, you have kids, right? They've grown up now, but you probably had this problem when they were in school.
Right. Yeah. Oh, for the parents.
Exactly, for the parents.
Yeah.
The new core curriculum requires basic competency in all areas, but as we all know, human reproduction does not. So many parents, confronted by their kids' incomprehensible math homework, are just flummoxed and are reduced to saying, I just don't know how many bunnies are there in that picture. In my day, we just said a bunch, and we left it at that.
I'm sorry, I have a seventh grader now, and I've started to hide when he pulls out his math homework. Seriously, I mean, he says, Dad, can you come look at this? And I'll look, I said, you should know that.
Yeah.
What? You say, don't know that?
Come on, you should know that. You don't need my help with that.
If I show you, you're not going to learn.
Right.
Exactly.
Teach a kid to fish.
The thing is, with this notion that you have to take math class again to help your kids, right? I mean, sex ed is no longer necessary. Just the math teacher will say to the kids, by the way, use a condom or you'll be back right here in 15 years. Tom, this week a bus driver in Egypt had to submit a urine sample for a drug test. He was told that he passed the drug test, but his employers expressed concern because it turns out he was what?
A goat.
No?
Goat is close if you think of kid.
He was pregnant.
Yes, indeed. The bus driver, you see, knew he wouldn't be able to pass the drug test, so he asked his wife for a sample and submitted it as his own, you see, very clever. And the next day, this is all true, the officials called him and they said, "Would you confirm that that was your sample?" And he said, "Yes." And they said, "Well, congratulations, sir, you're pregnant." And they fired him, but they did throw him a baby shower first, because...
You just got to stick with the lie. He should have said, "This is a miracle."
Bobcat.
Yeah.
There's a new ad for DirecTV in which Rob Lowe plays a nerd who, among other things, can't go to the bathroom where there are other people in the room. This ad has offended many people, including an advocacy group for whom?
Nerds.
No.
For the incontinent?
No. Quite the opposite.
For people who have bladder problems. Who,
specifically?
I don't know. Urinary tract infections? It's for people who are embarrassed going to bathroom in front of people?
That's exactly it.
It's shy bladder syndrome.
Shy bladder, bashful kidneys.
Shy bladder syndrome.
It's a thing.
I have an extroverted kidney. It can't wait to go. It's like, "Hey, look what I can do."
I once was in a restroom with Glenn Close. It was just the two of us. And I wouldn't say my bladder was shy, but it was patient because I wanted to hear what the tinkle of a star sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So I sat on that toilet and I held mine till I heard an Academy Award nominee tinkle.
Wow.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show in Newark, New Jersey on December 4th. Also, check out our How to Do Everything podcast. This week, Mike and Ian tell you how to win at arm wrestling even when you're as scrawny as, say, a public radio host. Hi, you're on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Ian calling from Baltimore.
Hey, how are things in Baltimore?
Damp and crabby right now.
Really? But crabby is good in Baltimore. You run around, you hit them with hammers. The crabs,
yes,
I mean.
Yes, or mallets, but that's not me. I don't do the crabs. It's my secret shame.
Really? I actually was in a restaurant in the Chesapeake Bay down the shore from you guys. And everybody was whacking those crabs with those mallets. And it just looked so horrifying to me. It's just, I was like, "Oh my God, get me out of here." It was terrible.
These are the ones you eat, right?
No, these are the ones you just hate. Ian, welcome to the show. Bill Curtis is going to perform for you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you'll be a winner. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, here's your first limerick.
In Sweden, our winters are drab, and no one is willing to gab. So to share our insides, we flag down a ride, because our shrinks ride around in a...
cab?
Yes, cab. Sweden can be a gloomy place to live. It's dark 23 hours a day, and the only thing to eat is Swedish fish. So, to prevent depression, Sweden's taxi cabs, some of them, have started providing therapy sessions on the go. You call a cab, it pulls up, you get in the cab, there's a therapist waiting in the back seat for you. That's awesome. Work out your problems. But what if it's a short ride? It's like, "Oh, whoops, we're here already. Your mother didn't love you. That'll be $15. Here is your next limerick.
With wine, men are likely to dawdle, but we ladies go at it full throttle. With a friend on the phone or even alone, I might polish off a whole...
bottle.
Yes! A new study has determined once and for all that it is women who are more likely than men to polish off an entire bottle of wine by themselves at home. Women here agree. Men used to do this, but they stopped after too many attempts to chug the whole bottle and then smash it flat against their forehead to impress their friends. Here is your last limerick.
Though I'm old, I'm unlikely to sicken. My activities make my pulse quicken. I don't walk with a stoop, 'cause I care for a coop. At my rest home, I have a pet.
Chicken?
Yes, chicken. British charity Hen Power aims to combat loneliness for senior citizens by giving them free chickens to take care of. It's great. They tend their coops. They collect their eggs. They yell at them to stop pecking on the lawn. It's great.
And they're great fun on bingo night.
Oh, yeah.
If they're old enough, you can tell them a chicken's a dog and they don't know. Like, oh, we got you a chicken.
Or we got you a parrot.
Yeah.
Try to teach him to talk, Grandma.
It's a squirrel. You know, I would hope my grandchildren will have fun.
With you, specifically?
Yeah.
By playing pranks on you?
Sure. I would love it if someone gave me a chicken and told me it was a dog.
It's better than if someone gave you a dog and told you it was a chicken.
Yeah.
Because then you'd be like, wait a minute.
And you
those
go,
aren't eggs.
They.
Bill, how did Ian do on our quiz?
Ian was just 3-0.
Yay!
3-0.
Congratulations, Ian.
Thank you very much.
Watch out for those crab hammers. It is now time for our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Bob and Faith each have 3, so they are tied. Tom has 2.
All right. So, Tom, you are in third place. You're going to go first. The clock will start when I begin your first question, fill in the blank. The GOP announced their legislative agenda this week, which will include repealing blank.
Let me guess, Obamacare.
Yes. Home Depot announced this week that it had once again been the target of blank.
A hacker.
Yes. On Wednesday night, the U.S. launched airstrikes against Al-Qaeda-linked groups in blank.
In Syria.
Yes. A man in New York tried and failed to get out of his DUI charge by blanking.
Is this at court? Oh, we can't do the hints.
No,
this
we
is
don't.
The lightning round. By running away and sobering up.
No, by eating the results of his breathalyzer test. Despite repeatedly denying in public that he has ever used performance-enhancing drugs, this week we learned Alex Rodriguez has confessed to blanking.
Using performance-enhancing drugs.
Yep, he spilled his guts to the feds after being charged with conspiracy to commit murder. The drummer for Australian rock band Blank was released on bail.
AC/DC.
Indeed, an Alabama man arrested for robbing 4 Subway restaurants claimed that he did it because blank.
He was trying to lose weight.
It's so close, I'll give it to you. He robbed the Subways because he said he hadn't lost any weight despite using the Subway diet.
Thank you. It was very generous.
It was close enough. Zachary Torrance is very upset that he didn't lose any weight eating Subway sandwiches for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that he decided to break into 4 separate locations and steal his money back. It's a shame the police caught him when they did, because with 1 more break-in, he would have filled up his frequent felon card, and the next arrest would have been free. Bill, how did Tom do on our quiz?
Tom got 6 right. He has 12 more points, and now has 14.
All right.
And he's in the lead.
Very well done. We flipped a coin. Faith has elected to go 2nd, so here we go. After a month of treatment, Spain has released the nurse who contracted blank in October.
Ebola.
Right. John Kerry said that he's still confident that a deal with Iran over their blank program can still be reached before the late November deadline.
Nuclear.
Right. On Tuesday, automaker Ford announced it would be blanking over 200,000 vehicles.
Recalling.
Right. Despite a fatal crash during a test flight, Virgin Galactic said their new blank could be ready by next year.
Spaceship 2.
Right. After being surrounded by hungry sharks, a man in Australia quickly realized his decision to blank was probably a bad idea.
Bloodlet.
No, Surf on a Dead Whale. Pixar announced that it would release the fourth movie in its popular Blank series in 2017.
Toy Story.
Right, with a time of just over 2 hours and 10 minutes. Kenyan Wilson Kipsang won this year's Blank.
New York City Marathon.
Right, while other lawmakers were busy tweeting about the midterm elections, Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa tweeted, Blank.
Suck it, Dems.
No, he tweeted, quote, the Windsor Heights Dairy Queen is a good place for you know what, unquote. That's what he tweeted. Grassley's staff were quick to point out the senator wasn't hinting at anything dirty and was probably just referring to one of his favorite Dairy Queen treats, like their beloved Dilly Bars or their new Backdoor Blizzard.
Grassley's tweets are pretty amazing, you know. He tweeted once that he set his leg on fire.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
I just, you know, you're a little addicted when you're on fire and you don't go, maybe I should call out.
I'll tweet this.
Maybe
this will
I
be
should,
awesome.
Maybe I should drop and roll. Nope, I'm going to put it on social media. I'm on fire.
Bill, how did Faith do in our quiz?
Well, she got 6 right for 12 more points. She has 15 and the lead.
All right, let's say that Bobcat here really wanted to win this game.
Yeah, I only have to get 13.
How many would he need to do that?
He would need 6 just to tie and 7 to win.
All right, Bobcat, this is for the game. Fill in the blank. On Thursday, Robert O'Neill confirmed that he was the Navy SEAL who killed blank.
Osama bin Laden.
Right. In a surprising ruling, the Sixth Circuit Court, federal court, upheld blank bans in 4 states.
Handgun.
No, gay marriage bans. Automakers Kia and Hyundai have agreed to pay over $300 million in fines for under-reporting their vehicles blank.
Faulty ignition?
No, in this case, greenhouse gas emissions. That was GM. A new study found that...
Don't rub it in. This is lightning round.
All right. A new study found that NBA refs will call more fouls on players if the ref is blank.
Short.
Yes. Tightrope walker Nick Walenda broke a world record this week when he walked blindfolded between 2 skyscrapers in blank.
Chicago.
Yes. Nerds all over the world were excited to learn that The Force Awakens will be the title of the next blank film.
The Star Wars.
Yeah. 2 tourists in a hot air balloon in India were detained for several hours this week after they blanked.
Made sweet, sweet love?
No. They were detained after they accidentally landed their hot air balloon inside a maximum security prison. The tourists said they were just trying to get a good view of the Pushkar Camel Festival when strong winds forced them to make an emergency landing in the high security prison. Officials detained them for several hours while trying to determine if it was an honest mistake or the world's most whimsical prison break. Bill, did Bobcat do well enough to win?
Well, he got 4 right for 8 more points, but got a total of only 11.
And thus,
Faith with 15 is the champion.
You knew it was going to happen. It was inevitable. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists what will be the first thing President Obama and the new Republican-controlled Congress can agree on. But first, let me tell you all that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Lumber Liquidator, supporting the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the National Braille Press, and NPR. Information at lumberliquidators.com. The Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, supporting the performing arts, the environment, medical research, and child well-being. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, benevolent overlord Doug, the subway fugitive, Bongo Boy, not a slave to fashion, Berman. Philip Kotika writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is Kel CNC. Music Factory Hardison. Our web guru is Beth Novi. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced every week by Eva Waltrover of Austin, Texas, and Miles Dernboss. Technical directions from Lorna White. Our CFO is Andy Ann. Our production coordinator is one Robert Newhouse. Thanks to the staff and crew at the Bass Concert Hall here at UT. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Mike Michael Linwood, Danforth, Now panel, what will be the first thing that Obama and the new Republican Congress agree on? Bobcat Goldthwait.
Limits on mouse hunting permits for cats.
Somewhat random, but good. Faith Saley.
That University of Texas alumna Renee Zellweger looks just fine.
Tom Baudet.
In their first post-election White House meeting, Speaker Boehner and the president agree that the new Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell does look a little bit like a turtle. Well, if any of that happens, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Bobcat Goldthwait, Faith Saley, Tom Baudet. Thanks to Sylvia Ponce Carson and everyone at KUT Austin. Thanks to everybody here at the Bass Theater on the beautiful University of Texas campus. And thanks to all of you in Radio Land for listening. I'm Peter Sagal, and we'll see you next week. This is NPR.